Can I have somebody help me with the communion? Where on earth is Trevor? Did the body snatchers get Trevor? Is he okay? All right. How about Grandma? Okay. Well, Father, we thank you for the communion you've given us. You told us how to take this, how to discern the body of Christ, and we thank you that not only did he take our sins on the cross, but it's by his stripes that we were healed. And in fact, our healing was paid for before our sins were. We believe you for the greatest miracle of all time, which is our salvation. Now, we believe you for our healing and our well-being. It's been paid for by his stripes, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. We discern that it's by his stripes that we were healed. And when he got stripes on his back, he shed his blood. And his blood has sealed in the New Testament promises for us. And his blood has washed us clean of all sins. His blood also protects us. It's by his blood that we are justified. And we honor the blood of Jesus, and we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. All right. Open your Bibles up to John chapter 16, verse 33. You've all heard that saying, the quiet before the storm. You know, it seems like the church has fallen asleep. It seems like a lot of people have fallen asleep. But, you know, we got through the pandemic. You know, 2020 was just, people were panic stricken, you know, and people were out of their mind, crazy, scared. And now it seems like all of a sudden now they got this sense of calm. I'm going to tell you something. The coronavirus is nothing. The coronavirus was nothing. And it's a church have let their guard down because they think they got the coronavirus thing under control with the inoculations. They're crazy. Don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep. John 16, verse 33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, it's in Jesus that you have your peace. It's not in Trump. It's not in Dr. Fauci. It's not in a vaccine. It's not in a mask. It's in nothing else but Jesus. But he said, "In this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." What are you going to do when trouble hits? I didn't say if. I said when. What are you going to do when trouble hits? I have dealt with a lot of different people, and it always surprises me when Christians show up and they're shocked that they're having challenges. They're shocked that they got attacked. They're shocked that this happened. Like, because you got born again, nothing's going to happen? I got news for you. You know, the devil, he's still out there. Just because you got born again doesn't mean he went away. You know, he hates Christians. I got news for you. He hates people. He hates people. Thank God that you're born again. Because that at least gives you some way to fight him off. You know, he attacks Christians, yeah, but he attacks people that aren't born again too. Did you know that? They get devoured a whole lot easier. I would say that's probably some of his favorite prey. You know, if a lion comes up and he's got a calf elk on the left and a bull elk on the right, which one do you think he's going to take? He's not going to have near as much fight in him as that bull elk. The devil just hates people in general. Even the ones he uses. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you." What things did he speak unto you? Well, in order to find out, we got to go backwards from here to see what we find. You know something? You can read the Bible backwards and you still get revelation. It's not like them records. You know, when I was a kid, the teacher said, "You play that record backwards, you're going to hear the devil." Hey, you get that thing and go backwards. That's what always tore me up. How do you get that to go backwards? I can never get that figured out. How did they come up with that? But here's something. You can read the Bible backwards, you're not going to hear the devil's voice. You're still going to hear God's voice. Well, let's find out what some of these things that Jesus said to him. First of all, let's look at John chapter 16, verse 27. It says, "For the Father himself loves you, because you love me and have believed that I came out from God." Do you believe the love the Father has for you? You know, that one of the verses, I mean, even people in the bars know, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." I mean, that thing has been generalized so much. But do you really believe how much God loves for you? You know, most of the church, a lot of the church is running around saying, "You got to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your body." That's what the Bible says, and that certainly is what Jesus said. But remember, you have to understand who's talking and who they're talking to. And what side of the cross did this get said on? That was Jesus that said that. He said that. And he was talking to Pharisees and scribes. He was talking to people that were under the law, people that were keeping the law. See, he had to preach the law to the law keepers because he had to fulfill all righteousness. But he said that before the cross. You know, I'm sure everybody in here has heard at some point, if you loved God, you would be out on the mission field. If you loved God, you'd read your Bible more. If you loved God, you'd serve in the church. If you loved God, you'd do this, you'd do that. And guess what that does? It puts the focus on you. And then you pick that up and you go through life trying to love God with all your heart. And then you sit down in the pew and the pastor says, examine your hearts before you take communion. And the devil will say, you know something, if you loved God, you'd have gave that man at the gas station $10. And then you feel like a rat because you didn't do that. And then you find another place where you failed to love God as much as you think you should. Why? Why is that? Because that was the law. Jesus was telling them the law right there. The dispensation of grace hadn't been brought about yet because Jesus had not gotten to the cross yet. What happened after the cross? The Bible tells us to believe the love that God has for you. Now, that turns the tables on the old devil, doesn't it? When you believe the love that God has for you, that takes the pressure off of you. It's not about you no more, it's about Him. And now, because the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, now you can love somebody who you didn't really want to be around before. Amen? Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Just so you don't think it's just something that some wild-eyed cowboy preacher come up with. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 says, we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. How do we get to that spot where as He is, so are we now in this world? Believe the love that God has for you. You know, He loves you with the same love that He loves Jesus with. Doesn't that stir some warmth in your heart? You know, I sit here and tell you to love God more. You must love God more. If you love God, you would do this. If you love God, you'd do that. Kind of makes your shoulders a little bit cold, doesn't it? Well, if I sit here and tell you, believe the love that God has for you, that He loves you with the same love that He loves Jesus with, it does something inside your spirit, doesn't it? Stirs your spirit. That's what happened to the guys on the road to Emmaus. The words of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But if you look at the right translation of that word, it says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. The words of Jesus to you. Now, I could sit here and tell you about 10 commandments every day, and that's not going to build one ounce of faith in your heart. It's going to build condemnation and fear because you know that you can't keep all them commandments. But when you hear the words of Christ, that's where faith comes. When you hear what He did for you on the cross, what He did for you in His death, burial, and resurrection, what He's doing for you right now as our high priest, that builds faith in your heart. believe the love that God has for you. Actually, believe the love the Father has for you. Amen? See, Jesus always addressed him as Father. You know the one time, the one and only time he addressed him as God was when he was on the cross and he took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment upon himself, the wrath that was meant for us. And God forsaked him and turned his head from him. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the one and only time you ever see Jesus ever addressing him as God. But you know something? Because he was forsaken, we are accepted. And now we can call him Abba Father. Amen? Let's look at John chapter 16, verse 23. John chapter 16, verse 23. In that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Well, believe ye receive what you believe. Believe ye receive what you ask for. You know, people run around saying you get what you pray for, and that's just not true. That's not biblically sound. You get what you believe you receive. If we got what we prayed for, we'd have these massive oil fields. Everybody'd be running around in this great big Cadillac. And that's just not the way it is it? But you get what you believe you receive. That's Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Let's look at that. Since we're right there on that subject, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, says, Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. You know, Jesus mentioned the word believe one time in that Bible, or in them verses, but he mentioned the word saith, three times. So he put a lot more emphasis on your confession than he did on your believing. You're going to say what you believe one way or another. You're going to say what you believe one way or another. That's why it's so important to get his word in you and camp on it so you can have something in your heart to say the right thing at the right time. Amen. So what happens on the other side of the cross? Remember, the cross made all the difference. The cross made all the difference. Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That, did you notice a little different tone from Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24? Number one, he talked about our confidence in Him. You're going to have an understanding of your position in Christ in order to have confidence in Him. Amen. And you're going to have an understanding of the new creation realities, what He did for you. You know, it really brings a lot of confidence to a man when he finds out that his sins have been forgiven. That makes you feel better, doesn't it? But then there's this nagging thing called condemnation that sometimes people get the idea that, well, I'm forgiven, good enough to get to heaven. I don't know if I'm forgiven good enough to get healed. I don't know if I'm forgiven good enough to get blessed. You know, I don't know if I'm forgiven good enough to get this good new job. I'm forgiven good enough to get to heaven. This is honest stuff. This is honest stuff. This is stuff that people actually go through. I know. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. That is cool. Not only have our sins been washed away, but the condemnation is gone too. You know, they took that woman, they threw her down at the feet of Jesus, and they said, according to the law, she should be stoned. These were religious people, and they were mean, because they didn't throw the man down. They got caught in adultery, and they threw the woman down. They said, here, she should be stoned. And Jesus wrote something down in the sand, and I don't know what he wrote, but they went away. And she was there, and he told her, said, woman, where are those that accuse you? And he said, there's none that accuse me. He said, neither do I condemn you. Get a hold of this. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Now he could have said, go and sin no more, and I won't condemn you. But then she would have made a mistake, fallen into condemnation. He said, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. What did he do? He gave her the power to defeat sin. That's what Jesus did for you. He washed you clean, and he puts you in a state of no condemnation. It's called grace. He wants you to receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness so you can rule and reign over sin. That makes me feel good inside when I hear these words. Well, what's another? So, you believe you receive what you believe. What's another thing did he say? Right there in John chapter 16, verse 23. We'll look at that again. John chapter 16, verse 23 said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Did you notice he said, in my name? He said, ask in my name. Look at John chapter 14, verse 12. And we'll see him again. See, these words are in red in my Bible, so that means it's Jesus talking. John chapter 14, verse 12 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. That's cool. You know, that puts you on the same level as Jesus. You know, there's some churches that would probably have me thrown out for saying that. You put yourself on the same level as God? Jesus? No, I didn't do that. Jesus did that. God did that. He put me, when I got born again, he put me in the body of Christ. I didn't do that. He did that. And then he gave me power of attorney to use his name. I mean, the same authority that Jesus had on this earth is the same authority that he gave me to operate on this earth. I didn't do that. He did that. I just happened to believe it. But don't worry about it, because you're not going to receive something you don't believe. Amen. Sometimes that's the only way you can deal with religious folks. Well, don't worry about it if you don't believe it, because it's not going to happen to you. What about that name? Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Now notice we're bouncing back and forth, one side of the cross to the other. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the most powerful name. Jesus told us to use his name. That it's the most powerful name on this earth. It's the most powerful name in heaven. And it's the most powerful name under the earth. He's given you authority in three worlds. Here's a really cool thing. I found this accidentally. But one time I was just snooping around on Facebook. And then somebody posted something pretty neat. And that's looking at it, and one of the Satanists attacked her. And what the heck? I said, no, this is right. I said, this is good. He went off raving at me, and I said, you know what? One day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God. And he just shut up. He went instantly silent. Never seen him again. I think he blocked me for life. That shuts the devil up. The name of Jesus is one of your most powerful weapons that you've got. Let's find another thing that happened. Let's go a little further back in our adventure. John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Wow. This will keep you from being led astray. Have you noticed there's a lot of crazy ideas out there? There's a lot of crazy teachings out there. I've seen where some teacher, I can't remember where this was, some teacher had a certain amount of days to turn these kids into little Antifa freaks. She had them in school. Actually, we had the video of it. Showed the Antifa flag hanging up on the, and had these kids swearing allegiance to this Antifa flag and said, I've got 18 months to turn these into soldiers. Or 180 days, something like that. She had a certain amount of time to get this deal done. And the parents found out about it, and they went down there, and she's toast. See, you can cause a difference in your world. You can cause a difference in your world. You can cause a difference by going to the schools, finding out what they're doing in the classrooms. You can cause a difference by going to your local county meetings. You know, you don't have to go to Austin. You don't have to go to Washington. You can go to your county seat. Go to those meetings. Find out what they're doing there. Make sure they're not trying to do something squirrely. Did you know that the way things have happened on this earth have been more up to us? You know, we need to look at what we've been doing. The church has been sitting around for a long, long time saying God is sovereign. And that's the truth. God is sovereign. But then they say he is in control. You know something? In God's sovereignty, in his sovereignty, he gave you dominion over this earth, and he told you to take care of this thing. And the church has been sitting in the pews waiting for some preacher to tell them how blessed they're going to be because they put $100 in the basket. The church needs to grow up and get off their butt and go out there in the mission field and do something. Instead of sitting around waiting for God to bless them. He's already done that. Amen? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 said, study to show yourself approved with God, unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Rightfully dividing the word of truth. See, you're going to be hearing all kinds of crazy things. You're going to see a lot of crazy things. But it's important for you to be able to rightfully divide the word of truth. Because people haven't been able to do that, we've ended up with homosexual pastors. because people haven't been able to do that, we've ended up with, I don't know how many thousands of different denominations we got. How many of them do we got? Thousands, hundreds. What is that? That's thousands of different splits in the church. See, that's thousands of different ways the spirit of division has gotten into the church and caused them to split up over here. We're over here, by God, we believe, you gotta dunk them. And we're over here because, by God, we believe he can pour them. What happened? Somebody didn't rightfully divide the word of truth. Amen. Isn't that a shame? The body of Christ is so shattered because they can't figure this out. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 17, and we'll finish up here. And what's even crazier is, you know how hard it is to get two different bodies, two different churches to agree on anything? This community is a rarity, you know, because all the pastors will get together at different times and do something in the community, do some kind of a project, do something. At least you can get us all in the same room. You know where I came from? You couldn't get them. I promise you, you couldn't get one pastor to go across town to meet the other one. Said, no, I ain't talking to him. They don't baptize people right. I ain't talking to him. He talks in tongues. I'm serious. It's a church that come together, and the church will come together. The Bible tells us that we are going to come together in the unity of the faith, not our doctrine. We're going to come together in the unity of our faith, and we're all going to be sitting there thinking, well, I thought I was right. Mama told me I was right. That's the way Grandma did it. You know, we got people going to church. There's people going to church for the sole reason that's where Grandma went to church. Well, that's where my friends go. You know how stupid that is? Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." How are we going to go about this? See, this is one of the keys. You know, Jesus said to seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. You finally backslidden in here, boy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, come on in.
You can start
all over. Well, anyway, seek first the righteousness of God, his kingdom. His kingdom is right here. This is the kingdom of God. Don't let anybody ever tell you any other thing. They'll tell you seeking the kingdom of God is getting out the mission field, getting people born again, doing this, being a witness, doing that. But this is what the Bible says the kingdom of God is. It's not in meat and drink. So it's not in any tradition. It's not any certain diet. It's not in something that you're keeping, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you find out you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you get peace with God. And actually, it's not peace, brother. It's not, we're just not fighting no more. No, Jesus would say shalom. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. The full blessing of God flowing upon you. Shalom. Does that make you feel good? Shalom. Righteousness. Right standing. Shalom. And that should make you have joy in your heart. When you find that out, remember, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, it's the only way you get joy. Remember, Jesus said He gives you joy. It's through Him. Right standing. Shalom. Nothing missing. The full blessing of Abraham falling upon you. That joy in the Holy Spirit. Happiness is like this. It's like a wave on the sea. You know, one day you're up, one minute you're down. One minute you're up, one minute you're down. One minute you're happy, one minute you're sad. You know, so much to the point where the scientists have made drugs to make people happy. Yeah. Some people grow herbs to make people happy. Only thing is, when you run out of that herb, you're not happy no more. When you run out of those pills, you're not happy no more. And happiness, a lot of times, depends on people, places, and things. So when somebody around you goes crazy, you're not happy no more. But joy, you can have joy in the midst of tribulation. See, we said these things. Jesus said these things to us so that we could have peace. Let's go back to John 16, verse 33, and we'll finish. Now, all those things we just went backwards and seen is for this verse right here. These things I have spoken unto you. Now that we know all those things that we just talked about, that Jesus talked to us about, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have shalom. Peace. Literally have peace. Shalom. In the world, you shall have tribulation. I mean, people are going to be idiots. There's going to be people running around doing stupid things, doing crazy things. And, you know, there's no end to what somebody might do, it seems like. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said all those things to show us how to deal with these things that happen in the world. Amen? You know something? Just because you have an idiot that's playing president doesn't mean that you can't have joy in your heart. Amen? You have the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. You have the name of Jesus to deal with things. Remember, it's the words of Christ that builds faith in your heart. Read what He said and read after the cross words. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, his burial, his resurrection. We thank you for everything that he is doing for us right now as our high priest at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. And then he takes our prayers and he makes them perfect before you. Thank you, Father, that we don't have to be perfect, but we do have to try to do something. Amen. You can hit a bullseye with a crooked stick. We just thank you that we step out into this world, that you aim and cause us to hit dead center, even when we weave, when we should have wobbled. Father, we thank you for everything that Jesus will do for us when he completes our redemption. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen.